Broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Federal officials have cleared the way for the Boeing MAX 9 jet to resume flying, but, says CBS's Chris Van Cleave,
the FAA also said that it is going to block Boeing from ramping up production of the 737 MAX as it had planned to do in February. Beginning of next month, they were planning to go to a rate of 42 airplanes a month. The FAA says you can't do that. They have to keep production the same as it is now on the existing lines until the FAA is satisfied that quality has improved.
We've learned that Alaska Airlines expects some of its MAX 9 jets will resume scheduled passenger service on Friday, United on Sunday, all possibilities. Unless things change at the last minute, a man will soon be executed in Alabama using a method never before tried in the U.S.
The execution of convicted murderer 58-year-old Kenneth Smith using nitrogen gas is still scheduled to go forward. Robin Maher leads the Death Penalty Information Center.
There are many unknown questions about how this procedure will actually go forward.
Smith survived a botched attempt to put him to death by lethal injection in 2022. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
It's umbrella time again from southern Texas to Tennessee. Here's the Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Bettis.
Through the day on Thursday, we'll see heavy rain across Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and all this pushing east as we go into Thursday afternoon should finally begin to relent as we get into Friday, but not before another 3 to 5 inches is on the way in spots.
A new report from the Harvard Joint Center for Housing Studies says more than 22 million people in the U.S. spent more than a third of their income on rent and utilities in 2022. The report's lead author, Whitney Airgood Obricki, says rents have come down recently, but they're still higher than before COVID came along.
Rents remain well above pre-pandemic levels, even with some of these modest decreases we've seen in recent quarters. And so while we might have, you know, some improvement in cost burdens, we're certainly not going back to pre-pandemic levels in 1 year.
A state legislator in California wants to end speeding. KCBS radio reporter Matt Bigler tells us how that would happen.
State Senator Scott Wiener wants all cars sold in California to have speed limiters installed.
It'll still be illegal to go above the speed limit, but it will be physically impossible to make the car go more than 10 miles an hour over the speed limit.
Speed limiters are already being rolled out in some European countries.
Japan says its spacecraft landed on the moon Saturday within 328 feet of its target. It got data from the craft for about 2.5 hours before it lost power, likely because its solar panels were angled incorrectly. If sunlight hits the craft from a different direction, it could power up again. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state of Wisconsin issued more than 60,000 initial professional licenses last year. That's a 38% increase over 2022. The head of the Department of Safety and Professional Services says the average review time for new licenses is down to less than 4 days. An amended version of Governor Evers' maps from the Wisconsin legislature is on its way back to the state Senate. The assembly Wednesday passed changes that would protect some Republican districts. Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer.
We're open to engaging with our colleagues on the other side of the aisle on maps. If those conversations are in good faith and are going to produce a fair map, we need public input on anything in front of the legislature.
The state Supreme Court says it'll draw new maps if lawmakers and the governor don't do it themselves. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A week ago, the Bucks lost by 40 points to the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Last night, it was the Bucks 126-116 over the Cavs at Fiserv Forum. Damian Lillard with 28 points and was asked what went through his mind after hearing Adrian Griffin had been fired as head coach.
Like everybody else, you know, just kind of surprised by it. But I've also been around long enough to know that it's part of the business.
Joe Prunty on serving as interim head coach until a new one is officially announced.
In all of my years of doing this, you know, whatever. It's never been about me.
College hoops, number 14th ranked Marquette down DePaul in Chicago, 86-73. The Badgers will host Michigan State at the Kohl Center tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers fired their strength and conditioning coach, Chris Gizzy, after five seasons. Gizzy was the linebacker for the Pack who carried the U.S. flag onto the field the first game after 9/11. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Kind of a messy night out there as we'll see areas of rain and freezing rain, fog, and clouds. Temperatures right near the freezing mark by sunrise. On Thursday, we'll have a chance of rain and freezing rain to all rain. The clouds and fog stick around. Highs climbing to the middle 30s. It's 33 at our studios.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media Studios at WXCO in Wausau, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide from the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, down at the world headquarters, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square in Madison. It is Wednesday, the 24th of January, 2024. Mr. Zommers, what is it?
Hump Day!
That is right, indeed. And we find ourselves on this Wednesday hump day in beautiful downtown Wausau. We are doing the show for the first time here live in our Civic Media Studios at WXCO, Bull Falls Radio, here in downtown Wausau. Absolutely beautiful right here off the square. You can see if you're watching the stream on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, the people walking by. It's snowy here in Wausau, and was driving over. You can listen to it locally at 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, and of course on the Civic Media app. One quick note, we are aware, just for those of you listening on the app, little glitch right now. There's some cool upgrades, but they're getting the bugs out of that. So if you're saying, what's wrong? Why won't the app stay on? It's not your phone. It's us, and we're working on it. It'll be better than ever on the other side, so just bear with us. If you stream us, it might be better to do it on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter today. Joining us as per usual on Wednesday, and oddly enough, Trigvy's in Madison, Trigvy Olson, who, by the way, Trigvy, very quickly, we'll get into it more later, but thank you so much for guest hosting yesterday. I listened to a lot of it, did a great job with Joe Trippi and Stuart Stevens. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for asking, Todd.
Yeah, absolutely.
My neck is no longer stressed out.
Well, you did a great job. Trigvy's at the world headquarters down in Madison. I am here in Wausau, and we're going to get right into it this morning, or this afternoon, rather, because we have a fantastic guest, and we appreciate her so much for making time for us on very short notice. She is Dr. Gretel Stock. She is the dean of UW-Stevens Point at Wausau, and we are here in Wausau. And Dr. Stock, thank you so much for joining us today to start off our program here in Wausau.
Yeah, it's absolutely my pleasure. I'm glad to be here today.
Well, it's great to be in your community. Tell folks a little bit as we go across the state of Wisconsin. Tell folks a little bit about you, if they're not familiar. How did you end up being the dean here? Kind of what's your background?
Sure. So I actually am a UW-Stevens Point graduate. I grew up in northern Wisconsin and decided to come to Stevens Point for school. Left for almost 20 years for various things and came back. I'm dean of not only the Wausau campus, but also our Marshfield campus and our university college, which is our student support and success work at the university. So it's a great privilege to be back at my alma mater doing really strong work for students across the whole region.
I mean, how cool is that? I went to UW Richland, the two-year school in Southwest Wisconsin, which sadly is no more, and then transferred to UW Platteville. Trigvy, graduate of River Falls, correct?
No, Eau Claire.
Eau Claire, I'm sorry. Yep, I'm sorry. Apologies. You grew up in River Falls.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, we're all here part of the University of Wisconsin system. So I just think it's great that you came back. What led you to want to come back and be a part of your alma mater?
So I think one of the great things about the UW system is that it is it's got a lot of really student focused institutions, right? We're in it in Wisconsin for the student thriving, for economic thriving, for the success of folks in the state. And that, I mean, 87% statewide of our students stay in the region of Wisconsin. And for Stevens Point, it's even higher. We've got like 92% of students stay in Wisconsin for more than 5 years. So it's a place that really embodies what's exciting about Wisconsin. And this place set me off on a great path. I mean, Stevens Point was a very caring, very student and teaching centered place when I was here a long time ago. And it's now, it's even more that way now, with a lot more supports for students and a lot more supports for economic and community thriving. So I wanted to be a part of that.
The two-year campuses, which of course a few years back were recombined, I'll use that term, with the 4 years. So each 2 year is a part of a 4 year. And I don't want to get deep into the weeds on this issue because you're not here to defend the UW system as a whole. We've talked about this extensively on our program. As an alum of UW Richland, certainly I have deep concerns about that. But I think to have you here today, I think it's more productive to have you discuss and talk to our statewide audience about the benefits of the two-year colleges and what is it that's unique about them and why are they so important to the higher education of Wisconsin?
Sure. It's a great opportunity. Thank you. I appreciate it. I think one of the things that I've always admired about the former two-year college system is that it's very, very community embedded, even more so than our regional comprehensives are, which are deeply embedded in their communities and regions. But there's an explicit focus that our faculty and staff have on working with members of the community. For example, with the Wausau campus is known for our engagement in the fine arts in a variety of different ways, both with community members. We have a community university band that's very successful, has a lot of anywhere from high school to college to community. Retirees are in it. What a great experience to come together and build music together, perform. Mm-hmm. We're also a center for Wisconsin high schools to come and perform at our annual jazz festival. And with our fantastic faculty who are dedicated to young students developing their talents or just enjoying music, and the community to come and then enjoy the fruits of that music, and bringing in national known folks to come in and bring that jazz voice that is not always as common in central Wisconsin. So to have that here as an asset, I think is a really amazing privilege and experience. We also have a lot of ways in which we sponsor work that's going on in the community. So we work with A Walk in Their Shoes and make sure that they have space to do what they need. We're a gathering space for a lot of things like we've hosted conferences for different organizations. We are bringing 460 high school students to come and explore 12 career clusters with business and industry, education partners, and other folks who like to talk about those career clusters, build our future workforce. We host that very large and dynamic event and really enjoy giving students the idea of what a college experience is, but what an immediate workforce experience might be. So we're really responsive to those kinds of needs and are always looking for opportunities to build those further. And that goes beyond our educational mission. Education in your backyard is something that we take very seriously. We know our students already drive a distance to all three of our campuses. So providing robust education in your backyard is something we also take very seriously. You can now start and complete a four-year degree at the Wausau campus. We've actually launched two new adult-focused programs in organizational leadership and multidisciplinary studies, in particular because those degrees respond to those with associate's degrees either from a tech or from another two-year school or some college but no degree, which is about 30% of the population in Wisconsin who don't even have a degree, but they've got some college or a tech certification and they really want to move their career to the next level. They want to upskill, and we can work with them on all of those credits. So that's an opportunity that we have to say, hey, we know you're here in the region. We know you need, your life is busy, that you want to get a degree. And so we've built some of those pathways with our focus with our two-year colleges that are now, we're one university, So a bachelor's degree is anywhere. A master's degree is anywhere. It's a great opportunity. So we really want to be centered in what our community needs and community thriving.
Trigby?
Yeah, so talk a little bit, and I think that's fascinating, and it's awesome. Talk a little bit, two things. One, as somebody who grew up in northern Wisconsin as well and then ended up going off and leaving Wisconsin, and I'm hoping I can convince my wife when we retire to be back in Wisconsin. talk a little bit about just how unique Wisconsin in terms of the Wisconsin idea and Wisconsin colleges are. And then also, you know, as somebody who grew up in River Falls, a college town, how important the 2 years and the 4 years are as the hubs of those communities. Because every time I'm sure. back in River Falls, you know, UWRF is the heartbeat of River Falls.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Superior. So UW-Superior was our heartbeat up there. It is amazing how there's research that actually shows that having a four-year university in your backyard actually leads to more economic thriving. There's more opportunities for broader discussions, tech transfer. It attracts a different kind of worker when you've got a university presence in town, people who want to explore a wide variety of both economic and political issues come together and blend and have conversations that don't happen in more communities without that hub. So in terms of our uniqueness, I spent a lot of my time away from Wisconsin in Illinois and was certainly glad to come back. Their system is not a system. It's not really connected. So it was clear that there was like a patchwork of opportunities for students that they had to really work hard to navigate. The beauty of a UW education is we all talk to each other. Everything's not 100% the same at each, and that's very rich in that you've got rich program differences, but you also can't go too far without some support. Now, certainly online education has broadened that support. We've got our great tech college colleagues that also provide a different kind of education, and we can partner, and we do partner with them to make sure students have access to opportunities. But we really have a robust infrastructure in education that means education is far more accessible to folks across the state instead of just in concentrated pockets.
We are talking with Dr. Gretel Stock of UW-Stevens Point, UW-Stevens Point at Wausau and Marshfield, of which she is the dean. They used to be called the two-year colleges, and they got combined back in 1718 with the 4 years, and so a part of that. But again, as someone who is an alum of a two-year college, and we got about a minute and a half here before the first break, we can pick it up on the other side. But I think what we're hearing a lot from detractors or people who want to close these campuses of cost. This is costing too much. For my money, Dr. Stock, I think that starting at a two-year institution is still one of the best values to higher education in the state.
Yeah, there is certainly an accessible pathway that some students need through that two-year experience. We actually find that the economic backgrounds of our students across our three campuses are almost identical. So we know that our high-need population, low-income population, our first-gen populations, they're very similar. So we think as a one-university model that our focus is in the right place to make sure that we're supporting students. We also have to pay our bills. Right. And so we have to make sure that we've got models both with a combination of state support and tuition support that can fund the operations and can make sure that we're doing both that combo of community and university work.
We are talking with Dr. Gretel Stock of UW-Stevens Point, Wausau and Marshfield. Also, Trigby Olson. Don't go anywhere. More on the other side. We are live in downtown Wausau at Bull Falls Radio, the All Ball Show on location. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. encourage them to see a doctor, or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location downtown Wausau, the home of WXCO Bull Falls Radio in beautiful downtown Wausau. We are talking with the dean of the UW-Stevens Point at Wausau and Marshfield campuses. She is Dr. Gretel Stock. And Dr. Stock, we heard on the, off the air there in the break, you were a theater major. I mean, you could do it all. That's fantastic. So how did you go from theater into, you know, administration for a university?
It was a bit of a journey, but I decided I liked the research for theater better than I liked the productions, although I love being an artist. I still am an artist. But I ended up going through libraries and then into student success, which is what led me into administration and my doctoral work. So,
but isn't your story right there, her Trigby's story, all three of us, from unique, more rural places in Wisconsin. I mean, Superior is still a large town, but, you know, compared to Madison or Milwaukee, still, I would say, kind of rural. But each of us, through our education at UW, through the UW system, have led us on different and successful journeys. I still believe that a liberal arts foundational education based on the Wisconsin idea sets people up uniquely for success.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually gave a talk to freshman students, I give it on a regular basis about not so much what I learned in my base degree, but everything that I could cite from my liberal arts education that I use in my career today. So an understanding of history, being able to write clearly, sociology and sociological factors, even just the basic understanding of math and how people think in science, even though math is not my personal strong point. Being able to understand and appreciate those ways of thinking helps me appreciate people from different points of view and make sure that I can facilitate conversations that acknowledge where a variety of folks are coming from. It's really an amazing thing. And they don't believe me, but I say, you will. You will believe me.
Speaking of different points of view, and again, I know this is sensitive, and if you don't feel comfortable, you can't answer some of this, that's fine. But, you know, this has been this challenge of, we just heard last week now that UW Green Bay at Marinette is ending their in-person classes. You know, I have strong feelings about system leadership, but I think from a community leadership at Richland, at Washington County, at Fond du Lac, and now at Marinette, as you well know, these two-year campuses are, as we've said, the center and oftentimes the community, huge economic impact. UW Richland brought $7 to $8 million in economic impact. And it was taking the Wisconsin idea to parts and giving affordable, accessible higher ed. My question, Dr. Stock, if you could answer it, is do you talk to your counterparts, other deans of what we would used to call the two-year colleges? And is there a concern that this could visit Wausau, that this could visit Waukesha, that this could visit Barron? What, in your opinion, if you're able, is the future of the remainder of the two-year campuses?
Well, I don't think I could comment on the future of the system. That would be well beyond my scope. Mm-hmm. But I can say that the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point intentionally at the reorganization took on a one university, three locations model. We blended our budgeting approach. Our curriculum is completely whole. Our community outreach is one unit, not three units. And that has allowed us to leverage knowledge and skills beyond what we would have had we kept everybody separate.
Right.
And everyone makes different operational decisions for different reasons. But I have had conversations with my colleagues about what they're afraid of in the future. And of course, every time something shifts or changes in the system, We have those conversations, but our focus on one university, three locations remains as what we're our strategic focus at this time.
I want to honor your schedule. We have 1 minute left. The 1 minute elevator speech. Why should people come to UW Stevens Point at Wausau and Marshfield?
Well, we are able to provide an educational opportunity that fits your time, fits your schedule, also fits your background. Like, we understand what you're trying to achieve, and we want to help you achieve that, as opposed to saying, here's a cookie cutter degree. You may spend a year in Wausau, you may spend your time online as well as on campus, but you always have the campus to come to as a resource, even if you've decided to move on to Stevens Point. The Wausau campus is still here, and you can still stop in and get the great support you did wherever you started or wherever you wanted to finish.
Dr. Griddlestock, Dean of the UW Stevens Point at Wausau Marshall campuses, thank you for being so gracious. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for your leadership of higher education across Wisconsin. Have a wonderful day, and thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. You guys have a great day. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much. Dr. Griddlestock, of the Dean of the UW Stevens Point and Wausau at Marshfield, When you hear someone like that, Trigvi, when you listen to that type of grounded individual, that type of leader, to me, that's what UW system is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? It's funny because I was thinking that, and I was thinking that's what Wisconsin's all about, right? Like,
right?
She from Superior, grew up there, left, came back, wanted to come back, is contributing in a massive way. I mean, this is what the state is supposed to be about. This is what the Wisconsin idea is about. This is what people who have had the opportunity to live in Wisconsin and then have left and haven't gotten to come back, like me, crave about getting back to Wisconsin. It's the quality of the people.
Lots of folks on the line. We appreciate it. As Matt Flynn says, we see you. Do not hang up. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's sneak one of them in quickly. Stephen in Green Bay. Stephen, thanks for calling in. What say you?
First of all, I want to say good job, Travy, yesterday. You did an amazing job. And welcome back, Todd. It's always great to hear your voice on air without sounding too overly creepy. With that being
said, we appreciate it, you know.
With that being said, my wife is UW Stevens Point Pointer, go Pointers. And when I moved to Stevens Point and I met my wife, she really made sure to share the UW Stevens Point with me. And one of the things she shared was Smeekly Reserve, which is on the UW Stevens Point, and it's a reserve, a natural wildlife reserve, that they have there. And I got some pretty cool opportunities, such as deer walking within, you know, feet from me and things. And I just wanted to comment on the things that we have in Wisconsin that a lot of other people in a lot of other states are seeing on TVs or watching in videos. We get to interact with. We get to go out there and actually see it with our own two eyes. And I think it just gives us a more of appreciation for not just our natural resources, but our earth around us as a whole. It's made me a lot more conscious of what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis and how would I do, such as throw a plastic bottle in the garbage versus the recycling, how that will impact the fish in the streams and the wildlife in the woods.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a big benefit of being Wisconsinite. And I'm proud to be Wisconsinite. You know, no matter what Wisconsin goes through, I think we're one of the best states in the union. And I think that's just one of the many reasons why.
Thanks, Stephen. You're one of those people that make it a great state, Trigvi. I mean, it's people like Stephen and all of our listeners. And when you get out, I was in Green Bay yesterday, Appleton, Shawnee, now Wausau, and you realize we're more alike than we're different, right?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And, you know, honestly, Todd, what the state needs, and as people are evaluating people who are on the ballot at the state level in the next election, rather than looking at whether they're red or blue, start looking at, are they cheerleaders for what the state of Wisconsin and the people of Wisconsin are? Because that's what we need.
Where Harleys roar, Eagles soar, and Packers score, as one of our governors, Tommy Thompson, once said. We are live on location in Wausau. More of your calls. Do not go anywhere on the other side. It's the All Ball Show in Wausau on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Alaska and United Airlines could resume flying Boeing 737 MAX 9 jets soon. But CBS's Chris Van Cleave says Boeing faces other problems.
CBS News has confirmed 737 fuselages arrived at Boeing's Renton, Washington plant with so many problems, manufacturer Spirit AeroSystems assigned a team to be on site to make repairs.
The state of Alabama is planning to execute Kenneth Smith using nitrogen gas. Robin Marr heads the Death Penalty Information Center.
The mask Mr. Smith is fitted with may become dislodged. And if that happens, the flow and content of the gas will change, and that could prolong his death and increase his suffering.
It's umbrella time again in the South, says the Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Bettis.
Our flood risk will continue across the South for the next several days with more rain coming our way. We've already had very heavy rain the last week, round after round of storms still in our forecast, especially through the day on Thursday.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Rural Wisconsinites see farm pollution and PFAS as the biggest threats to their clean drinking water. That's according to a new survey out of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Most people surveyed found clean water important not just for drinking, but to the wildlife, hunting and fishing, and the overall rural ethos. Over half of them saw pesticides and commercial fertilizer as a great risk to their clean water. Another 40% said large animal farms posed the same risk. Nine chefs from Wisconsin have been named as semifinalists for the National James Beard Restaurant and Chef Awards. The James Beard Foundation has been naming the nation's best chefs since 1991. Three chefs are from Madison and another four are from Milwaukee. The other two reside in LaPointe and Bay City, Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
It is going to be kind of a messy day today. Cloudy, foggy, with scattered rain, freezing rain, and even a few snow showers possible with a high right around 35. Tonight, rain and freezing rain likely will drop to 32 for a low tomorrow. A little freezing rain in the morning, then cloudy all day with a high near 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location in downtown Wausau, home of WXCO Bow Falls Radio, as we are taking the show across the state to highlight just stories for people that you don't maybe not run into every day if you live in Milwaukee. And then we're in Milwaukee, do the same thing. Mr. Zahmer's getting a little creative with the music there, by the way.
There's a backstory.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, that's Sister Christian by Night Ranger, because before the show started, Trigby walked in and he's like, Zahmer's, I listened to something I don't think I've listened to since the 80s. Some
was that?
Dawn Patrol by Night Ranger.
Okay,
I was
Todd.
Like, what's that? And then he said, Sister Christian. I was like, oh, I know that song.
All right, Todd, I'm going to share something which our viewers, our listeners and viewers might appreciate, at least the Gen X ones. So,
by the way, this is Trigby Olson, yes, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, in case you're not a regular right. listener.
And Wisconsin, us. Wisconsin native. Proud. Yes. Proudest of being from River Falls. So my drinking buddies and I from River Falls, we are all going out to Las Vegas to see Night Ranger in concert. And so I thought, I need to listen for those who know what Night Ranger. I need to listen to Night Ranger. So today when I was walking over to the studio and around Madison to my meetings, I was listening to Dawn Patrol and I asked Zahmer's if he knew of Night Ranger, and the look on his face said, never heard of Night Ranger. No. So.
Well, there you go. Well, we all learned together.
Yeah, good. So when he played that in, I thought
that was fantastic.
Yeah, it's like
we are here. We thank Dr. Gretel Stock, the dean of UW Stevens Point at Wausau and Marshfield, for her time. She came in on short notice, and really, really appreciate that. These 2-year campuses, Trigby, all across Wisconsin, are so important. And one of our listeners texted in, want to make sure that we brought this up. It's not just cheaper for the students, but it's also cheaper for the universities as well. What taxpayers are getting, the cost to the UW system to maintain a 2-year campus is much cheaper, and it's a heck of a deal compared to the 4 years across the state.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing. It isn't about the cost. They're not so much costs as they are investments, right? Like when
right.
you invest
Perfect.
In your
yeah.
401k, you don't view that as a cost. You view it as an investment. And the truth of the matter is, whether it's a 2-year or a 4-year, the University of Wisconsin system is an investment by taxpayers. And what do they get from that investment? They get the nurses when they go to the doctor. They get the doctors who've gone to medical school in Wisconsin or had their undergraduate, went somewhere else. They get the teachers who are teaching their kids in school. They get the cops who become criminal justice majors at various schools. It's an investment. It's an investment in the workforce, and a better workforce, and a better Wisconsin. And it just infuriates me when these politicians want to make it about, you know, DEI and like all of these other things, right? Because what they really don't want to talk about is it's an investment.
So well said, Trevi. So well said. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Give us a call. What's your thoughts on the University of Wisconsin system, in particular the 2 years? We are live here in Wausau talking about it. Go to the phone lines. Kurt in Madison. Kurt, thanks for hanging on. Appreciate it. What say you?
Hi. I would have loved to ask the guest if she's looked at Germany's model of how they go about splitting the, for a better lack of words, 2-year from 4-year educations. I know someone in just about every aspect of the trades pretty broadly, and every time I have a conversation with them, they just said they're dying. They need people in the trades so badly that the businesses are hurting. And I would think that these 2-year schools could, if they started working with some of the trades like plumbing, electrical, and the rest of them, and do some type of integration to speed up the time based on the way they presently do it, could bring a lot more people into the field. And just a final comment. I'm in my 60s, and I can remember ever since Reagan, the Republicans have always strived to try to control and reduce public education. The very last thing they wanted is an educated base. But in further of that, I have yet to hear anybody state the facts that when you have these people graduate with these degrees, they're able to pay taxes, which means more money in the system. If you reduce everybody down to, you know, a cashier at Walmart, the state will start to starve. And I think that needs to be promoted a lot more.
Yeah. Appreciate the call. Thank you so much, Kurt. And look, I think all jobs have value. Anybody who's working, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, all jobs have value. But I think the point is well taken by Kurt that, to your point, Trigby, it's an investment. And look, I've said this show, I think you have as well, there is absolutely a place for the trades. Our tech college system throughout Wisconsin is fantastic. And we talked on this show now 2 years ago, to Kathy Sandeen, the last chancellor of the two-year colleges, and she had done this review and said, yes, dynamics are changing, but we should adapt, not exterminate. And that plan was put on the shelf and never saw the light of day. Right. So I think Kurt's right. We have to adapt, but it's truly an investment and a payback as well.
Well, it's that. And then the other thing I was thinking is Stephen was talking. So first of all, I'd like to take issue with one thing he said, that since Reagan, you know, all Republicans have not been in favor of education. I worked for Tommy Thompson, right? I worked for Scott McCallum at one point. But when Tommy Thompson, you will not find a bigger fan, advocate, cheerleader for the University of Wisconsin than Tommy Thompson. Now, Stephen, an alum. And I mean, he loves the university. He's probably proudest of being, other than his kids. Here's the thing. It is an investment and a partnership between the generation that's paying taxes and contributing what the state contributes and the future generations of the state of Wisconsin who are going to school. You can have an honest conversation with them saying about, you know, we're going to invest 60% or whatever that threshold is, 40%. From the state, you're going to have to invest some yourself in bettering yourself. And if you make choices in terms of what you pursue as a degree and that doesn't work out, that's on you, right? But ultimately, we have to really, we have to think through that idea and why it's so important to our communities. Because it is the hub and the glue that holds the state together. One of the hubs and glues that holds the state together. And we're losing it, Todd.
Yeah. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Mark from the SAC. Mark, thanks for listening in. Thanks for holding on. What say you?
Yeah, well, just to amend the compromise between what Trigby is saying and what the previous caller said, I think what he's relating to is the appearance of animus by Ronald Reagan toward education, because when he shut down, the funding for the universities out in California, I mean, it seemed like Ronald Reagan had kind of an animosity toward education, because he says that just produced protesters, that I'm kind of paraphrasing there a little bit. But he made the point that investment, what money these universities bring into communities, like you mentioned at Richland County, how much does it cost each year to fund the Richland campus there, as opposed to the money that an economic driver that it is, that because Trigby was right, it is an investment in our future. I mean, I grew up in Superior, your guests there, you grew up in Superior. I went to the school at UW-Superior and got a good education there, and Superior not only has the UW campus there, it also has the tech school, which is more or less a block away from the Superior campus, and that both serve the community there, and that these technical colleges and two-year campuses are an investment in the future, investment in our people, and they're economic drivers. So the fact that we have a $4 billion surplus and we're closing down any of these two-year campuses is an opportunity lost for, as far as investment. I mean, I guess I got to leave it. I'm getting pretty angry just thinking about it right now.
I really appreciate it. Thank you for calling in, Mark. I really appreciate it. I want to go quickly because I want to get these calls to trick me. But real quickly, Governor Evers in the State of the State last night, didn't touch on education as I thought as much as he should. He didn't touch it all on these closure of these two-year campuses. That was a disappointment. But then Republican Senate Leader Devin Lemieux comes on in the response and says, everything's great. We put $300 into public education per pupil, K-12. They didn't tell the full story on that. And I said, people across Wisconsin should ask themselves, why are we having a record number of referendums for local school districts this year? It's because of the underfunding of education, K-12, and also UW, by the Republicans in the legislature.
Yeah, you know, so one of my, again, my drinking buddies coming up all the time, but one of my drinking buddies is on the school board in River Falls, and we were talking about it. You know, so the levy caps were set in 93, and I was yep. working down here at the time, right? And he and I got talking right. about this over beers one day, and he's like, it's locked them in, because River Falls is now a suburb of the Twin Cities. Hudson's base is far higher than River Falls because they were set in 93 and haven't been changed, mm-hmm. right? And he was yeah. like, what were you guys doing? Well, it was the law of unintended consequences. But this dysfunction that we're seeing, honestly, Todd, is becoming a problem, because those are kinds of things that shouldn't be hard to solve across partisan lines, because they're not really partisan questions. And, you know, we were talking offline. Honestly, when the postmortem of the state of the state becomes Robin Voss and Tony Evers yapping about text messages, I mean, yeah. listen. When I move back to Wisconsin, if I end up with Tony Evers as my neighbor on the left side and Robin Voss on the right side, I'll be perfectly happy with that. But come on, boys, start leading.
Off the Facebook line, Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor, says, quote, I think that the current crop of GOP legislators have a huge problem with planning for the future. They seem to only care about here and now. An investment in the future is completely lost on them, unquote. Thank you, Mr. Perry.
I'm going to steal Great. That, actually, Joe, yeah. because that point is applicable far beyond the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah,
that is
Jeff,
a very great
wise,
point.
A wise man.
Extremely.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go back to Madison, listening on WMDX, our stationed in Madison. Jesse in Madison, thanks for holding. What say you?
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Todd. Say, before we get to rehabilitating Tommy Thompson's image too much, I think it is worth pointing out he also, while he enjoyed the prestige of the University of Wisconsin system, he also presided over and implemented school choice, quote-unquote, voucher system, which has been exported to most other states in the country and has been the primary, overwhelmingly main tool to defund public schools. Where these private schools get taxpayer dollars and they don't have to take special needs kids or a whole variety of kids that are struggling and they still have worse performance than public schools.
Mm. Okay. Look, I think that's a great call, Jesse. Yep. I appreciate you bringing it up. That's totally fair. That is totally fair. Trigby, I'm not sure what you would say to that. I'll let you say it yourself here.
I was in the
here.
Middle of it.
All right. I think it's a good point, but I think it's gone way beyond yeah. what Tommy Thompson wanted it to be.
Yeah. You know, when that started, it was about Milwaukee Public Schools, and it was done in partnership with two Democrat, African-American Democrat legislators, Polly Williams and Gary George. And it really was an attempt to try and improve what was a mess. Now, you know, when I said about the law of unintended consequences, it has morphed into something, much like the levy caps, into something that is far different. And I agree with your point that it has gotten completely out of control. I do not believe that's what Tommy necessarily intended. I would argue that it didn't so much get out of control during the Doyle years, but when Scott Walker came in, he completely took advantage of it for, quite frankly, I think, personal political ambitions. But it has gotten completely out of control. It's a fair yeah. critique, but I also think, in fairness to Tommy, and if he were on here, he would probably say, that is not what I intended. I don't want to speak yeah. for Tommy, but...
No, it's a totally fair critique. And I mean, back in the day, remember, under the Thompson administration, the QEO, the Qualified mm-hmm. Economic Offer, where they would hold teachers, you know, raises to a certain level to inflation. That seems like a novice idea now right. compared to Act 10, right? You know, so I think also it's through the lens of what you look. But it's a great call, a great point, and we always appreciate it. Back with more on the other side. The Trigby Olson, we're live on location downtown Wausau on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Medium, the Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything,
The Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, live on location in downtown Wausau at WXCO Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 FM, 1230 on the AM dial. We are taking the show across the state to bring you perspectives. Great to have Dr. Gretel Stock, Dean of the UW-Stevens Point at Wausau and Marshfield, talking about higher education. Also, right now, we have Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor at the Lincoln Project with us right now. Coming up next hour, our friend Pat Kreitlow of Up North News will be on, as well as Chad Holmes of the Chad Holmes Show, the host of the Chad Holmes Show right here in Wausau at WXCO. And coming up at the bottom of next hour at 1:30, great author, Jeff Nania. Great guy, written all kinds of books about northern Wisconsin. So really happy to have him on. Trigvi, time always goes too fast. I want to go into a speed round. We got a couple more callers, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go down to Stoughton in Dane County and CJ in Stoughton. Thanks for calling, CJ. What say you?
Thanks a lot for taking my call, Todd. Because most hosts won't. I call every day, but they won't pick up. That's okay.
Everybody's got to do them. We're happy to have you. What say you?
Thank you. I believe right now we're failing our K-12 system. If you look, and I did want to ask the doctor a question. I called back then about.
Right. She just had limited time, so that's why we did that. So, go ahead.
The aptitude on it. So, of kids that were applying to school, and Republicans want accountability. You know, it's about supply and demand too. And when you speak of, you know, I hear you guys talk about DEI and. You know, if kids are there to get to school and they should have to pay for it themselves, they shouldn't have to, you know, their parents should be thinking ahead and they should be able to work a job or two. And, you know, equity and equality, you guys have done a great job blurring those definitions. Because,
all right, see, I always appreciate calling in. I'm trying to get everybody on the lines. I appreciate it, Trigvi. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. I'll simply say, in terms of whether schools are failing, remember, public schools have to be transparent in their testing scores. Private schools do not. An important point to make there.
And 844-96- I would just add, Todd, I think we talk about accountability. I would be saying that there shouldn't be accountability. In fact,
no, not at all.
Be all for it.
Quickly to Jack and Merrimack. Jack, if you make it quick, please. What say you?
Well, first, accountability. There is none for the private school sector.
Exactly.
They don't have to follow any of the rules. They don't have to work with any special ed students that they don't really want to. And here's something else. Those who say, oh, there's a much better graduation rate or something like that with the private schools. Yeah. School choice is exactly what it says. That is to say, the school gets to make a choice of whom to educate, and they'll just simply, if there's issues with the student, they'll say, oh, you can go to the public schools. Finally, sure. I taught in a private parochial school, and At the end of the first semester or towards the end of the first semester, the principal calls me in. Now, I had been teaching at that time for about 15 years. I knew in my subject area what the students needed to learn. And I also had office hours available for extra help. The principal calls me in and says, we are a college prep school. Your students' grades have to be better. And I said, well, you know, this is what I've been doing, and they have to make some kind of an effort, too. The bottom line was he was pressuring me to inflate the grade, which I simply wouldn't do. I left that school at the end of the semester.
Yeah. Well, I just appreciate the call, Jack. Thank you so very much. Trey, I want to get to other stuff quickly, but 30 seconds on Jack's comments.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it's fair. You know, the reality is... I'm all for accountability. I think, you know, to argue that there isn't a desire for accountability, we tend to be in the middle, I guess, Todd, because we have both sides hammering on us. But yes, accountability is important. But you know what? Diversity and inclusion is okay by me, too. Like, let's have both. We can have both.
I'm all for being in the middle, unless you're a dead skunk in the middle of the road.
Right.
Then you don't want to be on either one of either side.
Exactly.
Really quickly, speaking of things that smell, Trump gets a big win last night in New Hampshire. Give us your skinny. What does it mean? Is Nikki Haley done? Is Trump the nominee?
You know, she didn't sound like somebody who's backing down in her speech. Now, ultimately, people, as Joe Trippi pointed out yesterday when I was hosting, people get out of presidential races because of either embalming fluid or running out of money. And let's hope it's not the former with
right,
Nikki.
Right.
That said, more important to me was how unhinged and sort of mean-spirited and angry Trump was.
Yeah.
Holy buckets.
Yeah, it was pretty scary.
It was terrifying.
And Tim Scott capitulating and going after the woman who appointed him to the U.S. Senate. Nikki
yeah,
Haley.
You know, Vivek is one thing, but Tim Scott, really bad.
Yeah, bad really news. Bad. You mentioned it growing up over River Falls. If you're going to a Packer game at Green Bay, a great place to stop is right here in Wausau.
Absolutely.
Big news, if you haven't heard it, the Green Bay Packers have fired defensive coordinator Joe Barry. I think I think that Jimmy Leonard is on his way to Green Bay. What say you, Trigvi Olsen?
I don't know who's going to Green Bay to be the defensive coordinator, but that is a start. I think that plus a couple of new safeties would really probably help out a little bit, or at least teaching Darnell Savage how to catch the ball. The thing about Joe Barry is, you know, they got a little bit better, but the inconsistency, Todd, just frustrating. And
yeah,
you know,
did that second round of the playoffs, that would be enough to save Barry, but no.
You know, my daughter, who's 14, when we were at the game against the Giants, when they came out and the Giants drove down and kicked the field goal, she was just like apoplectic about the fact he was in four across prevent. And when I asked her how she knew what that was, turns out she's been playing Madden with her friends. I was like, I didn't even know what it was. Fortunately, the guy sitting next to me had been a defensive back at Villanova. And he's like, how does that girl know that? I'm like, I don't know.
When high schoolers are pointing out that your defense is not good.
Yeah, right. When freshman girls know that what you're doing is going to lead to the Giants kicking the game-winning field goal, you're probably not NFL quality.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. You're spectacular, my friend. Thanks for guest hosting yesterday. We'll have to do it again. We'll see you next Wednesday for sure. Have a great week.
You know what, Todd? We should go on the road.
We should. We're going to do it. I'm on the road right now in Wausau.
Yeah,
More from Wausau on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on location at Civic Media.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrenn, every Wednesday evening at 7.
on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on